ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
We've always been very bad at predicting the future. Don't believe me? Well, 67 years ago, the ABC asked Australians to do just that, and...
You all commute daily and hourly so fast through space in your private flying saucers...
Global peace and international harmony will be completely attained by the year 2000.
Yeah, still waiting on that world peace. I'm Matt Bevan, and for If You're Listening, this is Black Swans, a series about the events we can't see coming, no matter how hard we try. It's available now on ABC Listen.
For weeks, Anthony Albanese has been under intense and unrelenting pressure to establish a national royal commission into the horrific Bondi terror attack. He has always maintained that it wasn't needed and it would take too long. Now he's changed his mind. He says that former High Court Justice Virginia Bell will lead the inquiry and that he's listened to the community. Welcome to Politics Now. Hi, I'm Patricia Carvelis. I'm actually officially still on holidays, although I've paused my holiday because this is a huge announcement for a National Royal Commission to the Bondi terror attack. And I'm joined by Claire Armstrong. Hi, Claire. Thank you.
Hello.
I'm not in the studio. We're supposed to be back to daily programming soon, but this is an emergency podcast, Claire. You were at the press conference. I watched it. I'm actually still in Byron Bay, but I watched the press conference, as I think probably a lot of people did. You were there, you asked some good questions of the Prime Minister. Since the attack, what's really important for our listeners to know is that the calls for a royal commission have been relentless. Just give me a sense of the pressure that's been building on the Prime Minister for him to now make this call after arguing that this wasn't needed.
Yeah, I think it's been observed. Obviously, everyone has seen in the public, there's been a series of open letters, advertisements taken out in newspapers by different sectors. We had legal experts, we had sporting stars, we've had business groups, all adding their name to a very growing list of people calling for a National Royal Commission. But on top of that, there has also been private lobbying of the Prime Minister, and not just from members of the Jewish Australian community, but from within his own party, including current and former members and other sort of people in the Prime Minister's orbit, really coming at him from all angles about the need to put this, in their view, on the national level, that a state New South Wales-led Royal Commission with Commonwealth cooperation, which was where we were at 2 weeks ago, was just not going to be sufficient. And that has really ramped up day by day, pretty much ever since the Prime Minister first announced that rather than a royal commission at a national level, he'd be pursuing a more targeted security review led by former ASIO boss Dennis Richardson.
It has been a really significant campaign to convince the Labor government to do this, right? As you say, relentless, it hasn't stopped. And I thought it was, and I just think, let's just talk about the politics here, you know, it's in the label as we say. This is a government that's been resisting the call for a royal commission, even though the victims and their families related to the victims have been arguing for it. As soon as they had put voice to this and that the Jewish community was so united, it seemed to me almost inevitable and quite, let's call it for what it is, bizarre that the government dug its heels in. Why was it doing it? Like, I think it's important for our listeners to understand, why were they so resistant for so long?
I have a few views on this. I think when the Prime Minister and others started talking about whether a royal commission was the best avenue or mechanism to explore the issues and address and respond to the attack, there's valid arguments around how royal commissions do tend to become this sprawling, cumbersome, very lengthy process that can get quite wildly off track and go into a lot of areas that might be very interesting, but quite a departure from the original intent behind a royal commission. I also think that in the initial response, there was a view that it would be better to get on with things, pass legislation, respond to the special envoy into anti-Semitism's report. These kind of more pragmatic, practical responses, I think, were incorrectly judged to be a sufficient kind of immediate response from the government, that it should be seen to be doing rather than talking. And at every point, I had a nice week off over Christmas, but I've mostly been in Canberra for this summer period. And at every day, at every point, it's just felt like, whether it's the Prime Minister, whether it's Home Affairs Minister Tony Burke, there's been this disconnect and this misunderstanding of all of these intangible benefits that come from a royal commission, the significance that you then put on an issue as a government by saying, we are taking this seriously. And it just rung a little disingenuous to have someone like the Prime Minister, who has historically been on the front foot calling for royal commissions into the bushfires, into defence and veteran suicides, into financial services, all these robo-debt, all of these things, to suddenly say, and many of those things, maybe arguably there were better forums to inquire into some of those issues as well, but to draw the line at Bondi when, as you say, you have the victims, their families, and the specific community that feels targeted by this event and was targeted by this event saying that this is what they want. It was, I agree with you, bizarre.
It was
to
bizarre.
Disregard that.
There's a reason as well. And, you know, like I've been kind of watching this story closely, even though I'm still on leave. I'll be back and this podcast won't just be an emergency as of next week. But one of the other reasons is the government, I mean, like, let's call it for what it was worried about the politics. They were worried about having a royal commission that took over this next term of government. They are still stung by the voice and the way that that dragged on. They don't want this to drag on, and they don't want to be called in answering questions on anti-Semitism at this level. That was one of their reasons that they were resistant. Some of them were concerned that it would be a platform not only for anti-Semitism, but, you know, for some Islamophobia. That's one issue that was being raised internally as well. So there is a lot of politics here with this Royal Commission. This tight reporting deadline is about it not dragging on for them and causing them political headaches. That's how I read it. What's your take?
I think that's true, and particularly given that one of the Prime Minister's main criticisms, even though he kind of ranged a bit over the last few weeks, was about the time it would take to get recommendations and get answers, he couldn't then call a royal commission that ran on for years. I think you're probably right in saying that there'll be an extension requested by the commissioner. People often, I think governments often forget that once they start this process, it's a little bit out of their hands. The commissioner gets a lot of say in how much more time they need and the format that they report in. I think it's interesting the Prime Minister has maintained that April deadline for an interim report, specifically that Dennis Richardson aspect looking at security. I think we will see some form of report in December before we get to the one-year anniversary of the Bondi attack. That's the deadline the Prime Minister has set. Whether that is the final one, I think it will depend on a whole host of things yet to be decided. Things like the extent to which there will be public hearings. Will there be a huge platforming of the submissions, or will a lot of the submissions be taken offline and sort of done internally? There are so many practical things that no matter what the Prime Minister says by enforcing a deadline, he might not be able to control. And the danger as well is, even if this all gets wrapped up and they feel that they're trying to clear the air politically to talk about other things, the pressure then turns to responding to those recommendations. So there is definitely going to be an element of this Royal Commission dominating every year remaining in this Albanese government term.
Look, let's go to the way that it's been framed. It's really kind of interesting if you look at the kind of scope of this Royal Commission. After the resistance from the government, it will tackle anti-Semitism, tackling its key drivers. The Prime Minister did in the press conference talk quite personally about the fact that, you know, Jewish Australians at their schools have to have security guards there. He said at my school that wasn't the case. I thought that was interesting for him to kind of insert that really personal take. It's him trying to show, I think, his own empathy, really, at the end of the day, in relation to this. But in terms of the areas that this will look at, we're talking about tackling anti-Semitism by investigating its nature, its prevalence, its key drivers, including religious and motivated extremism and radicalization. So that opens a really big area, I think, of that kind of radicalization and where it's coming from. Also making recommendations to enforcement, to border, immigration and security agencies to tackle anti-Semitism. And also the circumstances surrounding the Bondi terrorist attack, making any other recommendations to strengthen social cohesion and counter the spread of ideological and religiously motivated extremism in Australia. One more thing I want to pick your brain on, Claire, and that's Dennis Richardson. He's former ASIO boss, kind of very respected. He was already tasked, wasn't he, with looking at security and the security agencies and information and the way that they operate. This will now be rolled in to this Royal Commission. How does that work? I was a bit confused by that.
Well, it's once again the Prime Minister saying, as he did even when he started announcing the Richardson Review originally, it's very much going to be up to Mr. Richardson how this all works. He was asked if there would be some public elements, for example, of hearings. That was one of the concerns about it previously being an internal departmental review. And the Prime Minister very much deferring to the former spy boss saying, well, it's up to him. I think what we will see is it will come in the format of just an interim report specifically focusing on that third kind of component of the terms of reference, the investigation or the recommendations that come from investigating the circumstances of the Bondi attack specifically. I think it's really interesting, just coming back to what you were saying there about the politics, the Royal Commission is a Royal Commission into anti-Semitism. It's not, and social cohesion, it is not a Royal Commission specifically into Bondi. That's not in the title. Obviously, that's a part of it, but it really kind of shows this dramatic shift where 3 weeks ago, the Prime Minister was saying emphatically, the important part here is to rapidly get to the bottom of the specifics of this attack, of the security implications and identifying potential gaps, to now having that essentially point three in a four-point Royal Commission in which that security element isn't even in the title. I think that is a fascinating shift in the politics. And the Prime Minister was at pains to say, you know, this wasn't, he hadn't made a mistake by not doing this earlier, that he wasn't backflipping, that this was just him taking the time to listen. But this is a substantial change for his position.
It's huge. They've been resisting this for weeks. Of course, they've been deliberating about the proposition because they've been pushed to do it. But they haven't been overly enthusiastic about it. They can't rewrite history. And one of the reasons is that they didn't want this to take over this term of government. They wanted this to basically, you know, end. They don't want this to go on. And now they've had to concede that there's no way that they can just avoid it. I think that brings us to the political management of this by the Prime Minister. The Prime Minister is known for his great political instincts. I mean, he won a thumping majority only last year, right? Only literally last year. And yet on this issue, he has not been solid. He has not been comfortable. He says 25 days wasn't a problem that he's waited. Well, I'm not sure about that, Claire. I reckon maybe it was a problem that he's dragged his feet and that they've created a bigger political problem by taking this long. And now they've ended up agreeing to what I think was inevitable.
I completely agree. And what he's also done is ended up calling a Royal Commission from much more of a position of weakness than if very early on when Chris Minns, the New South Wales Premier, indicated that he would be doing something at a state level and would be more than happy to see something happen at a national level. I think that was the invitation, the opening from a friendly, you know, in terms of partisan politics, a friendly person in the room to say, let's get together and figure this out. He might have had less resistance in terms of his top pick to be the Royal Commissioner. He might have been able to include some things or discount some things in the terms of reference that he didn't want explored, but that hasn't been the case because he's 3 weeks down the track having gone through what sounds like some pretty intense discussions with the community and ended up giving them almost exactly what they wanted.
And of course, the Royal Commissioner that's been assigned has also been contentious. Josh Frydenberg suggesting that Virginia Bell wouldn't have been appropriate. However, they've still gone with that decision. Some of the contentious issues from some people that they've been raising are in relation to a decision that she's been involved in relation to protest laws. But either way, they go into this still being criticised from some key figures, Josh Frydenberg, clearly a very significant figure. They believe, though, that Virginia Bell is the right choice. They also believe that they can't keep, being influenced by every single lobbying effort of those who are criticising them because the goalposts keep shifting. Is that right? Do the goalposts keep shifting?
Well, I mean, I spent a bit of time on this issue when it emerged that Josh Frydenberg saying there were concerns with Virginia Bell and that those concerns were held by the Jewish Australian community. I spent a bit of time today speaking to fairly prominent members just privately about what those concerns might be, and I didn't find any. They didn't really have any. There was a view that there were other candidates in the mix that were more of a preference for different reasons, which I personally think was probably not the best place to go. I think if you're getting the Royal Commission that you want, you can sort of sit back a little bit and be assured that a former High Court judge is probably going to get the job that you want done. But there, I think Josh Frydenberg maybe got ahead of himself on this by attributing broad concern where it didn't exist. Yes, it's true that some in the community feel that she has these, you know, decisions around protests that are indicative of how she might treat the issue in this context. I think that's a bit of a disservice to, as I said, a former High Court judge. I actually think the Prime Minister sticking to his guns on this one was the right call. As you say, he does have to draw the line on the lobbying, and I think that the movement got a little over its skis and probably didn't mean to get quite so ahead of itself on this one.
Well, I'm in Byron Bay where it's quite hot and skis are not on my mind, but I'm so glad you've used the ski analogy. It's one of my favourites. Look, a really significant day, can I say, in Australian politics, which is why we've brought you this emergency podcast. A big deal to have a royal commission at a national level into anti-Semitism and social cohesion. I just think it's important before we say goodbye to just pause on the enormity of that. An actual royal commission in Australia on anti-Semitism. It shows the crisis that this scourge, I think it's fair to say, this discrimination has become. I just think it's a day to reflect on just what a big deal that is, Claire.
Absolutely. I mean, this was called for because it's known to be a significant thing that a government can do in response to an issue, a concern in the community. And in the mechanics and the nuts and bolts of a royal commission is astonishing, and it's significant, and it speaks to the fact, and I want to acknowledge that there has been a lot of concern and confusion about where the big push for the royal commission was coming from and the extent to which it might have been coordinated. Those open letters got the signatures they got, had the support that they had, because 15 Australians were killed in the worst terror attack on our soil. And I think that this acknowledgement of the significance of that attack absolutely, it has now been recognised in how the government has responded.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And, you know, royal commissions have been called over things that I think I feel pretty confident in saying I think are even are less significant at times. And I think that's why there's been such a public chorus. It just, if I'm going to use the proverbial pub test, it did not pass it that they were arguing against having what is really a powerful national inquiry. To be opposed to a national powerful inquiry seemed out of kilter with the enormity of the event. And now the government has conceded the point, I think, probably politically, arguably too late, although let's see if they can recover from the kind of dragging their feet that's been going on over the last couple of weeks. Claire, thank you so much for helping me understand all of this. It's been great to have you on the pod.
Thank you so much.
And that's it for politics now for today. We'll be back for our regular show on Monday. Jacob will join me. I'll be back at work. You'll get a better, clearer line from me because I'll be in a studio, and I look forward to joining you regularly then. See ya.